This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. Do you know this is happening right now? It's happening. Strangers are feeding the flock of God, and foreigners are the plowmen and vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. I want you to hear this. You shall be named priests of the Lord. They shall call you servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth. I will make with them an everlasting covenant. He's done it, you know. He's done it. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. Are you blessed? I'm incredibly blessed. Listen, you and I are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, can't be taken away, in Christ Jesus. And that's where he's raised us up. We are blessed. Now, verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Are you ready to greatly rejoice? I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. We're coming right near to that time. Is the bride making herself ready? Is the church, you know, if a bride, it says in Revelation about the bride has made herself ready and the Lord's coming. You know, what is it when a bride makes herself ready? What does she do? What does she do, Iris? Tell me, when a bride makes herself ready, what does she do? A lot of work? What kind of work? Good one. I'll just focus on that. I won't worry about all the rest. Her clothing. She's got this beautiful wedding dress, right? Well, this passage is talking about the church. He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. So as the earth brings forth its bud, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. That word praise there is a particular Hebrew word, tehillah. And, you know, I've been talking last week, I talked about that he's given us the garment of praise for what? For the spirit of heaviness. And look, you know, people can get discouraged over politics, discouraged over things that that are happening in the earth today. You know, like Psalm 8, you know, it says, why do the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves in array against the Lord and against his anointed. And what does God do? He who sits in the heavens laughs. He laughs. Our Father's laughing. He laughs because he has set his king on his holy hill and he will not be moved. He will never be shaken. Jesus is risen from the dead and he is Lord. He is seated in the highest place. All power, all authority has been given in his name, and that's the name that we are called by. And we have been raised up and we've been made to sit with him in the heavenly places. If you're an inhabitant of the world and of the earth, well, you should be very afraid. But if you're not an inhabitant of this world, but as the scripture says, we're passing through. We're not looking for a city in this world. We're looking for a city whose builder and maker is who? God. Just like our father of faith, Abraham, he's looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. City, oh city, oh city of God. Glorious things are spoken of you. Singers, listen to this praise, singers and dancers. I'm waiting for the dancers to get up in this place. We had the breaking out of laughter, but I'm waiting for those who are just going to spontaneously dance before the Lord. Singers and dancers, together they say, you know what they say? All my springs of joy are in thee, in the city of God. You know, there are springs in this house that are shut up. There are springs that are enclosed. And God's causing this wind of adversity to blow upon it to awaken that spring, to bring it forth. This is all Psalms I'm speaking out here. He might cause adversity to spring forth. You know, when Tim read out that story of, what was his name again? Horatio, I love that. No, it's a ripper name, isn't it? Anyone named Horatio here? It's a tremendous name. Horatio. You know, it just reminded me of Psalm 30. There was somebody else who wrote a psalm, who wrote a song from Psalm 30 in tremendous adversity. And his reaction was he wrote this psalm after he suffered the loss of all his family. Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for me. Thou hast put off my sack. I've got to remember the song in the Old English because that's when it was written. How it was written. Thou hast put off my sackcloth. To the end, my glory, and our glory is, point to your mouth, that's your glory. To the end, my glory will sing praise unto thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. I'm talking about this praise that God is going to make spring forth in all the world. That particular praise, the word is the Hebrew word tehillah. It's like a hymn of praise. The Bible says, make the sound of his praise to be heard. It's that same word, tehillah. God talks about my praise. He talks about that we're to come as a people, to come before him as one, to give him the glory and the praise that is due to his name. It's translated a hymn, a laudation, to really proclaim God's goodness, his praises, his glory, and he's allowed us to be the people to do it. And now, if you think this is all Old Testament, then you just have to go over to 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's listen to what he says. Oh, where we start. Let's start from verse 1. Therefore, talking to all of us, laying aside all malice, all deceit, all hypocrisy, envy, and evil speaking, as newborn babies, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, isn't he good? Just, you know, if you've tasted of God, he is good. And when you taste something good, you open your mouth wide because you want more. How many have closed your mouth? You know, because life might be difficult. It might be bitter. Well, God wants you to open your mouth because he will satisfy you. He satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. How many want their youth renewed? My youth renewed. I want to be like those in Isaiah 40. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They're going to run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. Even the youths faint. But those who wait upon the Lord, they will not faint. They'll find a strength that's supernatural. God's got supernatural strength for you. If you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also, every single one of us, as living stones, are being built up, what, a spiritual house. You and I are being built together as a spiritual house. You know, in our society, there is so much emphasis on individual. And that's you know, even to the detriment of families. Do you realize that the Bible says God sets the solitary into families? He who isolates himself, the Bible says, Proverbs 18, seeks his own desire and rages against all sound judgment. God sets solitary people into families. I praise God that he put me in a church. Man, did I start spitting and spluttering when I found out that everybody's not the same as me. Because I want everybody to be like me, like what I like, hate what I hate, talk the way I talk. That would be the perfect church, wouldn't it, Bev? You laughed. You laughed. As soon as to every husband, every wife, as soon as you get married, you find out what an obnoxious person you really are. And how many corners he's got to knock off you to straighten you out. You know what I mean? God, why did you give me this wife? And God says, because she's perfect for you. God, why did you give me this husband? Because he's perfect for you. Praise God. Let's not get off track. So he's made us a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Do you know you're a holy priesthood? Who made you holy? Well, you look at me and anybody thinking naturally, man, it's going to take a lot to make him holy. If I told you some of the way I used to think, You'd be horrified. There's things I can't tell you that I know wouldn't go down too well. I can only tell certain people. But anyway, I shouldn't even talk that way. But you want to hear it anyway. But he's made us holy. His blood has made us holy. We deserve hell. That's the truth. That's the truth. We deserve hell, every single one of us. And in fact, the person who then justifies himself by finding somebody worse than him to say, I should be acceptable to you, God, is actually worse than the person that using to justify themselves. That's that spirit that God hates. He's made us holy to offer up, listen, to offer up. So we're called, we're a house, living stones, spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Then we'll just go down a bit to verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Man, it's even, he's up the ante. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who have once not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. What an incredible call is on each and every one of us. No wonder Paul, the apostle, commands us to rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So that's the one thing I want to focus on. To put on that garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. As that spirit's coming, trying to crush, trying to stop those praises coming forth from you and I who have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Why would you go back into darkness? Why would you go back to your old way of life? Yeah, but maybe it did get tough. Maybe it does get tough following the Lord. How many have experienced tough times? Yeah, it does get tough. How many have gone through the valley of weeping? You just read the Psalms. What does the psalmist say? Passing through the valley of weeping, we turn it into springs of joy. Because why? The Lord's our shepherd. We're not going to want. We're not going to lack. Yeah, it's great when I get to lay down in green pastures. It's great when I get to be led beside the still waters. It's great when those things happen. But it's equally great when he leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. We're not going to fear any evil because he is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. And I believe it's in those times when we learn to take a hold of the authority of God, his rod and his staff. It's in those times that we learn to use the authority of God. You see, God has given us weapons. He has given us means to overcome all that the enemy is throwing upon us in this time. You know, the bride is to get herself ready. Oh, it's amazing, the scripture. It's in troubled times. We're in the end of times where the Bible says it's going to get darker, even a darkness that's going to be felt, but it's also going to get brighter. Well, tell me who can work that out. I can't. Two things are happening. We're going to be showing forth, proclaiming his praises because he's brought us out of darkness. We are not children of the dark. So that day will not come upon the people of God like a thief in the night. It can't, because we're not children of night. We're children of day. We're children of light. And we're called to proclaim his praises, to put on those garments. Remember last week, I read out a lot of scriptures. If you want to write them down, it's Ezekiel 28. Verse 1, where Aaron and his sons' holy garments were made for them. They were for glory and for beauty. And that the only way that they could minister to the Lord was when they had these garments on. If they didn't have the garments on, they were disqualified from ministering to the Lord. And not only that, but they had to have these garments on for the anointing oil to be poured upon them. Now, I want to talk individually that each one of us has got to be fully clothed to put on, the Bible says. Don't you love the wording? Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. What does the flesh want to do? The flesh is always about me, 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 me. I want this. I like that. I don't like this. I don't like that. I want it this way. I want it that way. I don't want it this way. Always whinging, always complaining. But we've been born again. We've been born again. You know, what does it say? Jesus said, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. The flesh will never be able to do it. The flesh will never serve God. It will always be weak. So we're not to try to pacify both. We're to walk in the spirit. Make no provision for the flesh. Follow the Lord. Put on those garments, because when the garments were on, the anointing came upon them, upon those garments that they wore. The anointing's on the Lord Jesus Christ, always will be, always has been. You know, and one of the things I liked about the garments, the robe that Aaron, the high priest, wore, round the hem of his garment, they sewed, was a little, right round the hem, alternately, all the way around, little, and I think apples or pomegranates. Pomegranate, it reflects the fruit of the Spirit, love, and the bells. And so they could always hear the high priest ministering, because the bells, Remember that song? I've got the joy bells in my heart. I've got the joy bells in my heart. Since Jesus saved me, new life he gave me. I've got the joy bells in my heart. And so you could always hear the priests of God when they were ministering, because the bells are ringing. You know, can we hear the bells ringing in your heart? Can we hear them? Think of that, you know, Horatio, he wrote that song, "It is well with my soul," in the midst of incredible hardship and heartache. He still had the joy of the Lord. Is that possible? Paul says it. He continually carried the burden and the grief of all the churches. But he is the one that said, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And Jesus himself was anointed with the oil of joy above his fellows. And it says of Jesus that he was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Yet he was always rejoicing. Work that one out. It's a supernatural joy that comes upon us, that oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So we're fighting against those things. And you can't fight against those things without putting on those garments. So the priests had to be clothed to minister. And then the greatest revelation of this came to King David. He knew, he was a man who knew how to minister to the Lord. You know the story. His life. He played his harp. He'd sing psalms, always worshiping the Lord. And God chose him to be commander and king over his people, to lead a whole nation into what it meant to really minister to the Lord. So he got the revelation of it. So he built a tabernacle. In fact, think about it. When David, first of all, possessed the kingdom, he said to all the people, the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, remember the Ark, that they used to, the box that was covered in gold that represented the presence of God. They had the Ten Commandments in it, the Aaron's rod was in it that budded, and the manna was in it. They had a pot of manna. It represented the presence of God in the midst of his people. And he said, we haven't inquired of that. We need to bring it back into the center of our worship. And so what does he do? Well, chucks it on a new cart and he starts rejoicing before it, leaping before it. And a certain man, Uzziah, puts out his hand to steady it when the oxen that were dragging the cart hit a bump, and he touches it to steady it. He falls dead. God strikes him dead. Man, this is a serious thing, isn't it? Why? Because the priests were supposed to carry the ark. They were supposed to be clothed and they were supposed to carry it on their shoulders. What an important thing when we think, you know, think about worship, how we can get a blasé attitude to it. Just get somebody who can play good, that's all you need. No, you need people who are filled with the Spirit to worship God. You know, I'm not too impressed with, you know, great Santa, but I tell you what, I can hear when people love God, hear when they want to worship God. I can hear that. And I haven't got an ear for music, have I, Bev? Yeah, Bev can tell you that. But I can hear a heart that wants to praise God. And it's important. So David was afraid of God for quite a while. But when this ark was stopped at somebody's house, God just blessed them. And he says, I better bring it back. Go back to my original intention, bring it back to the center of Israel, center of worship. And he did it the right way. He got the priests to carry it. And they brought it back. And he was jumping with joy. Before, he was dancing before the Ark of the Covenant. They were singing songs, they were sacrificing, worshipping God. And the Ark of the Covenant was brought back to the center of worship. And he pitched a tent for it. He pitched a tent. And what he did, he got all the Levites. He appointed, I think it was over nearly 3,000 of them plus, to minister to before the Ark of the Covenant 24/7. This went on for many years, and they were just singing, prophesying with instruments. In fact, he had three particular men who were head of these different divisions of Levites that were singing and worshiping God 24/7. The first man's name was Asaph, and his name means to gather. The second man's name was Heman, and his name means the faithful, and the third man's name was Jeduthun, and his name means to worship. So they were to gather the faithful to worship. That was what they did. And 24/7 they were worshipping God, and the presence of God came upon a whole nation that had victory over all of their enemies. It reminds me of that scripture, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. You know, it says in Psalm 22 that God inhabits or is enthroned in the praises of his people. How awesome is that? You and I have been called to that. And so during the reign of King David, there was this incredible victory that was outwrought. They possessed everything that God had for them, everything they conquered. His enemies submitted to him. There was incredible prosperity over the whole nation. And then we read, you know, how quickly, you know, sons that were born after David died. Solomon himself was the most blessed man, the wisest man in all the world, yet his heart was turned after other gods. Why? Because he married, you know, a billion or so, 900 plus wives, and they turned his heart after other gods. The Bible says not to do it, but he did it. Thought he was wise enough that he could control himself. No, he couldn't. And so his heart was turned away, and then Israel starts to fall away from God. And, you know, it's God's heart. You know, it says in Amos chapter 9, talking about the last days, that God was going to rebuild the tabernacle of David. And so that the rest of the nations, the heathen, the Gentiles, would be come in. And that's you and I. Because God inhabits the praises of his people. That temple's being rebuilt. And we're in a time when the enemy's trying to crush that. He doesn't want that praise to come forth. He doesn't bells out. He doesn't want you to be a praising temple individually, but more importantly, a corporate temple. When we come together, God inhabits the praises, and it's that same word to healer. When we come together and our voices are as one. Think about all the stories in Scripture where that kind of praise comes forth to God. Think about King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In a situation where there are small people, they're rising up and they're starting to... King Jehoshaphat is teaching the word of God to all of Israel. He's sending out the priests to teach the word of God. And there's a revival starting to come to pass. They're starting to learn about what God requires of them. And they're starting to put it into effect. And they start to do this. And then three enemy nations conspire together and group together. Over a million soldiers coming in to wipe Israel out. And it says Jehoshaphat and all the people feared. Well, it was a good fear. And they set their hearts to seek God. And as they fasted, as they sought God, what do we do? Amazingly, God speaks to all the people. First of all, says, you keep your faith in God, believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. In other words, you won't be moved. And then it says, believe in the prophetic word, and you will prosper. And isn't that amazing? You know, there's something in that. So they heard the word of the Lord, and they were told they weren't going to have to fight in this battle. They were actually going to stand still to position themselves in God, stand still and see the salvation. But they did do something. You know what they did? When they sent out their armies to meet the enemy, they put singers and musicians, children, women and children, all the men who had the courage as well, to get out there and start singing and praising God. And when they started to, with one heart, with one mind, with one voice, started praising God, you know what, God, he sent ambushments. I don't know whether he sent these mighty angels. And the enemy started fighting one another until they destroyed each other, totally wiped out. What an incredible victory. They never lifted a sword or a shield, but the victory was by singing and praising God. I think of another story. You know, here's Paul and Silas. They're preaching the word of God in this particular town. And And he casts out a spirit of divination out of this slave girl. And because the leaders of that town used this slave girl, in Acts 16, they used this slave girl to pick the horses or something, whatever they did, but they made money out of her. They lose their livelihood in that way. And so they make all these false accusations against Paul and Silas. They get chucked into a prison, and then the commander of that prison gets told, don't you dare let them go. In those days, if a prison warder lost a prisoner, he'd lose his head. So he heard that command, thought, man, a bit of... He chucked them in the deepest prison, they were whipped, they were chucked in the deepest prison, their hands were in shackles, their feet were in shackles as well. And you know what happens? Paul and Silas are praying at midnight. I'm pretty sure they felt miserable. I'm pretty sure they said, God, you said you're going to look after me. You said you're going to bless me. Well, this is not a blessing. You know, I'm aching. People don't love me. I'm going to eat worms. And maybe there were some in that prison floor. But at midnight, they start praying, and then they start praising God. Now, I'll tell you, it wasn't a, oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord, you know, in a minor chord, because they're feeling pretty down. No, they're starting to praise God. They're starting to worship God because everyone heard them. And what happens? Suddenly there's this earthquake. You know, I get this picture that God, he just so wants to hear the praises of his people. You know, we can't, as it were, manufacture. You can't bottle it, you can't can it, because it comes out of your heart. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. I magnify the Lord with me. Let's exalt his name together. Isn't he great? Isn't he awesome? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. His name is wonderful. It is glorious. You read the Psalms and you get a sense of what God wants from us. You know, and if God hears the cry of a city that's full of sin, Sodom and Gomorrah, is what he said to Abraham. There's a cry come up from Sodom and Gomorrah, and it's not a nice sound. He said, I've got to go and I've got to deal with this because it's come up to heaven. This is a cry of immorality. This is a cry of shame. This is a cry of sin. And it's come up to God, right to heaven. He says, I've got to do something about it. I've got to come and do something about it. And, you know, here's Abraham interceding with God. God, look, if you find 50 righteous, will you spare it? He says, yeah, I'll spare it for 50. If you find 40, yeah, I'll spare it for 40. If you find 30, yeah, I'll spare it for 30. He couldn't find even 5. Only Lot was the only one there. You know what struck me? If God has to respond to the cry of a whole city of sin, how much more is he going to respond to a cry of his people that's a cry of worship? Is that to heal a praise? You know, I just want to finish with this. Because there's going to be breakthroughs when God hears this kind of praise coming up to him. When we bless the Lord, no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what's going on in our circumstance and situation, awake, Isaiah 52, awake, awake, put on your strength, O Zion, put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. Shake yourself from the dust. What's the dust? It's the things of this world. That's what dust is, things of this world. Sit down, where? In heavenly places. Loose yourself from the bonds of your neck. Loose yourself. God sent his word and he's healed us. He sent his word and he delivers. You know, he said, Jesus, you are clean because of the word I have sent to you. You are delivered because of the word that he sent to us. We are healed because of the word that he sent to us. Receive that word. Those who receive, gladly received his word. You know, God wants us to serve him with joy and gladness. I'm just going to finish with this. In Deuteronomy 28, it talks about all the blessings of God to a people that obey his voice. And it also talks about all the curses that come upon people that disobey him. Do you know, the curses all start to come in Deuteronomy 28. I think it's around verse 47. He says, let me read it, I'll get it right. Deuteronomy 28. Starting in verse 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and pursue and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and a wonder and on your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and gladness of heart for the abundance of everything. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and he's looking for the response that's due to him because of that. He's brought my soul out of prison that I might pray. He's brought your soul out of prison that you might praise his name. He's brought us into his presence to praise him. He's set us free. He has blessed us. He's called us his son, his daughter. He loves us with an everlasting love. Why not just acknowledge him and praise him? Praise him. Put on those garments. Start to praise him. Start to bless the Lord at all times and remember all of his benefits. Because you know what? When you don't praise God, you forget all of his benefits. You forget his blessings. You forget that he has forgiven you all your iniquities. You forget that he has healed all of your diseases. You forget that he has redeemed your life from destruction. He has crowned you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Can we stand up, please? Break forth into praise. Put on those garments and break forth into praise. Hallelujah. Can you lift up your hands? Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us and supplied us all of those garments and all of those robes. Lord, we determine that we're going to put them on just as we get dressed every morning. Lord, we put on our clothes. Every morning we're going to praise you. When we get up, we're going to put on the garments of praise that you have given us, because, Lord, you gave it for a reason, for that spirit of heaviness. And, Lord, thank you for the oil of joy for mourning flowing upon each and everyone in this house. That, Lord, we will continually be praising your name, thanking you for your goodness and your mercy. And, Father, I pray as we have that anointing upon us, Lord, not only individually but corporately, I thank you, Lord, that you command the blessing in this house, that souls would be saved, lives would be delivered, bodies will be healed, minds will be set free. We ask this in Jesus' name, and we give you all the glory and all the praise. We say, Lord, let you arise and all of your enemies be scattered. Lord, I thank you for each one putting on those robes and those garments that you supplied. And I thank you for the anointing oil falling upon each and every one, that we will serve you with joy and with gladness for the abundance of the things that you have given us in Christ Jesus. Everybody said, amen. God bless you all.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.